It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Good to have you with us, reeling and rocking and rolling into the 5 o'clock hour here on WGR. Mike Shope is off today. I am the Bulldog, Nate Geary, sitting in for Mike. Zach Jones here as always as well. And joining us now on the Western Hotline is our main man, Sal Capaccio. So I saw that carpaccio on the menu in Spain frequently, but I could not pull the trigger.
Have you ever had carpaccio?
I never have.
Dude.
I should have done it.
Yeah.
It's a big miss.
It's very good. It's super Italian. And very delicious. A lot like our friend's.
Oh, wow.
Come on. What an entrance that was.
Sale, I'm sorry.
I love it. Thank you very much. It was a great intro. I also have never had carpaccio. God. I don't believe. Maybe somewhere along the way because I had to because of my name, but I have not. Right. I get often called carpaccio by a lot of people. A lot of people say, like, they call me carpaccio. And I'm like, it's not like I'm not offended. I'm like, there's no R.
Right,
it's like carpaccio, but there's no R.
Yeah,
right. But people do it all the time.
Tough one there. Yeah. Now I really feel I'm reflecting on my trip to Europe, and I feel
missing
like,
out
feel
on
like some regret here. Yeah. Too much paella. I just had to. I had to go on that.
That's fair.
Come on, right?
That's fair.
Anyway, Sal, worry meter on Coleman and or Cooper here. It looks like Cooper's wearing a cast. In the video I saw of him meeting with the media, or at least a brace of some kind, I'm pretty worried here about whether either of those guys are going to be available this weekend.
Well, if that's where, like, if when you say worry meter, I'm wondering, like, long term or short term. I agree.
Just short term,
like,
for this week.
They could be without. Yeah, yeah, they could be without both of them this weekend. I don't. I don't dismiss that possibility. I think more so Keon. He has not practiced 2 days in a row. Interesting. I'll start with him. Didn't practice yesterday or today, but he was out there today doing stretching drills and then working off to the side with trainers. And he has no brace on and no wrap whatsoever, which is really interesting considering that, you know, he did have one on at the end of the game. And during the game, obviously, he took that big shot, not only to the head, but his hand was right there as well.
Right.
But he's had no brace on. Really interesting. Didn't wear a red non-contact. Now, if you're not going to do drills, then that's going to happen.
Right. It doesn't really matter.
Wear your white jersey. And, he was doing conditioning off to the side. So that was interesting. But he has yet to practice this week. Given that, plus what Sean McDermott said yesterday, even though they didn't rule out this week, that it could be longer than a week, then I'm leaning towards he wouldn't play. All right, then Amari Cooper. Yeah, it's more like a heavier kind of brace cast, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, I have to remember, like, I have video too, and I can look, but when he's out there, like, taking passes in the pre-practice, it's not, like, super big, noticeable, right?
Right.
It's just more, you could tell that he's got something wrapped up there. But he's not catching balls from Josh Allen. You know, which is interesting. So
who is he just catching balls from assistant coaches or the machine? Or?
Yeah, okay. I'd like light ones, light
right,
catches,
right.
You know, like just a pre-practice warm up going in, you know, half speed, like, you know, how they're just getting warmed up. But once they go to routes, now that's only while we're out there. Maybe he is catching after we leave. Right. But that it's kind of looks like the same as last week. He did meet with the media this after practice and basically said that, you know, there's pain tolerance there, and, you know, he's just taking a day at a time. And so I wouldn't be stunned if they don't have either of them on Sunday. I think if you want to look at the other way and say, okay, but it's pretty encouraging that, A, you could have, if it was long term for Amari, you would have put him on IR last week. So we didn't have to miss an extra game because now it's like, well, why didn't you do it? He's already missed one game, right? And then as far as Keon, like I said, long term, at least he's still out there. Is it possible by Saturday they could put him on IR? Sure. But after watching him with no brace and running around, I mean, maybe it's just a 1 or 2 week thing.
It's really, do we know what his injury was listed as hand, wrist, Coleman?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's really.
Let me go look at that for sure, the official report. But I believe that is correct, yes.
Okay.
Hold on one second. Hold on. No, here, let me see. Keon Coleman is a wrist, just specifically just wrist.
Okay.
On the official injury report. It was listed as hand wrist. It was said hand wrist area by Sean McDermott this week.
Ah, okay. I knew I had that in my head for some reason, yep. And it wasn't just, you know, old age. It's pretty interesting that he isn't wearing any protection at all, then, I think. But I don't know what to make of that, but that's the best I can do is like, huh. That's curious. And pain tolerance with Cooper, too. McDermott, a caller yesterday, brought to our attention, and we have since played it on our show today. I thought it was notable, at least. I appreciated the caller bringing it up, that when McDermott was asked about Cooper's just sort of a general, you know, his impact on the room since he's been here type of thing, you know, being the accomplished receiver that he is, McDermott, towards the end of his answer, said, you know, it's been hard to say because he spent as much time in the training room as he has in meetings and game planning and that sort of thing. And while I appreciate that factually, that is probably literally correct, it sounds like a coach sounding to me frustrated by a guy not being available.
Maybe. Listen, I think we're trying to read a lot into things here. Okay. You know, maybe. You know, remember, let's go back to what we talked about the other day with the way Sean likes to talk about things and never, you know, tries not to go too far in certain respects, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, Amari's a professional. I think just from people I've talked to in the building and knowing what Sean McDermott, you know, what he's said publicly and getting Amari Cooper in my own interactions, like we talked about the other day, I really believe that, like, this guy is very much in the mold of what they want in a player and how hard he works and just goes about his business every single day. And for the fact that he, you know, got hurt, it's unfortunate, you know, but I don't think there's any question whatsoever that he will go and do whatever he can to be on the field. He even said today it was a freak accident. Just a freak. He said he was blocking and mm-hmm. fell the wrong way, right? Like, it's just those things happen. So I don't want to read too much into any of those things. I just think that, you know, this is the life of, you know, the NFL right now. You have mm-hmm. injuries and you have to deal with them. And I think the coach is very careful about what he says and doesn't want to put guys in a tough spot either way, where if you say, you know, pain tolerance or not, and what people read into that, or that's what we talk about with timelines all the time. People get very upset. Why don't they tell us mm-hmm. the timeline? Well, why can't he say when he's going to be back? Well, it's because he doesn't want to get painted into a corner. And if you give a timeline, the guy's not back by then all of a sudden there's a lot of questions. Well, why didn't your training staff have him ready by the time you said he'd have him ready? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that's just kind of how they operate, and especially Sean McDermott.
I definitely get all that. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline here with us on WGR. Okay, so what else? Is there anything else new or still from yesterday that's a holdover to be worried about as it pertains to the injury report, or is it really the receivers?
Yeah, but there's another receiver, Mac Hollins, who has been on the report with a shoulder injury he suffered in the Houston Texans game a while back, meaning he's been wearing a red non-contact jersey at practice. He's generally a full participant. Sometimes, you know, early on it was limited. Today he went from full to limited, which was interesting. So I saw him out there. He was in the red jersey, but he went from full to limited today. Now, I would also tell you, given the fact that they have Amari Cooper situation, Keon Coleman situation, and Curtis Samuel, who's still limited, maybe they're just backing off Mac Hollins to make sure no one gets hurt more. You're right. Like, hey, we got to have guys available. So that's very, very possible.
Sal, I wanted to ask you about the run game. And it really kind of doesn't matter who goes in. They all, if you want to really apply the everybody eats thing, there's probably no room on the team personifying that more than the running backs room. I mean, if it doesn't matter if it's Ty Johnson, he had a great run on Sunday. He is still outpacing in terms of snap counts Ray Davis. And I'm wondering when you think, or if you think, that eventually flips, because I think the conversation and the questions, I mean, I could tell you I got a lot of these calls in postgame on Sunday, Sal, was, when is it going to be time to have the conversation where Davis should be starting to eat into James Cook's snaps? And my kind of rebuttal, Sale, was, well, let's wait until he's taking away Ty Johnson's snaps, because that hasn't happened yet.
I wonder, Nate, like, it's so easy to say, hey, look at what's happening here. Ray Davis, why isn't he on the field more? But I think the Bills believe they have the perfect balance right
now. I do, too,
is what
by
it
the
is.
Way. Yeah.
And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with you know, continuing to do that if it's working. And it is working. You know, the Bills have a good running attack. You know, is it like, is it the Baltimore Ravens? No, they don't have Derrick Henry on their team, right? But they have a good rushing attack. I think it's working out for them, the way they're using the plays. I was very surprised last week, the limited touches that, you know, Ray Davis had. He's also a rookie. It's been a long season. There's been no bye week yet. You know, this is the most he's played, you know, going back to mini camp and training camp. And the Bills, they think about those things. And that's why there's sports science involved. And they have trainers and sports science people that, you know, take note of these kinds of things. So could maybe this week is a little bit more for him, depending on the, I think, you know, this is a team they're playing this week, the Indianapolis Colts, who had trouble stopping the run. This could be a game where Ray Davis, you know, gets more touches. And then Ty Johnson, he played well last week when he was in, right? Yeah. I mean, like, he gets his touches, and he actually did a nice job. And they like his pass blocking. They like the fact that he can do things out of the backfield. So I get it. Like, there's only one football, though, and there's only so many snaps. And I understand fans who see what Ray Davis has done and say, get him on the field for Ty Johnson. Get him on the field more for James Cook. I totally respect that. But I think the Bills feel very good about where they are with their group, and they want to keep everybody healthy and keep rolling with this group as long as possible and hopefully deep into January and February because of the how they're using the rotation.
You know, I think we've talked about this in the past, Sal. When Davis popped against the Jets, I know I started feeling like, okay, he's probably either A, going to eat into Cook, or B, at least be the first guy in when Cook comes out. And even though snap count and percentages, I know like last week, Johnson outsnapped Davis neither guy played a ton, but still, Johnson was on the field a lot more than Davis. On the year, though, for people who are just tuning in and not staring at the stats page, Davis has 61 carries. Johnson has 17. Davis has 10 receptions. Yep. Johnson only has 5. So, right. Like, touch-wise, like, they might like Johnson, like you're saying, trust him in pass pro.
Yep.
We've seen Allen go to him a couple times in scramble drills. So there's certainly things that they, like, spots they like to have him on the field. But as far as getting the ball to one of these guys, it's Davis, and it's not even close.
No, that's right. And I'll also make the point, it's a great point you just brought up. I think the pass pro is a big thing because, if you remember last week or after the game when I joined you guys earlier this week, and I said the Dolphins were very creative in what they did against the Bills. They had a lot of different designed, more exotic type blitzes. Like, they emptied the kitchen sink. And I wonder if then, and I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Brady said, look, I need a veteran who's kind of seen this, right? I can't put my rookie in this position. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't seen some of this stuff before. Ty Johnson's kind of seen it all in this league. So would not surprise me at all if that went into some of the thinking that they were heating Josh up and they were blitzing a lot and they were coming from different spots. So they trusted the, you know, the veteran to be out there. And then the rookie gets out there. What does he do? He slips out of the backfield and he catches the long catch and run for the touchdown. Right. So it wound up, you know, working out pretty well for them, but no doubt about it. And, you know, if you look at on the year to go back to the Cook versus Ray Davis, James Cook's averaging 4.6 yards a carry, Ray Davis 4.5.
Yep.
Even he has a lot more touches, he's actually averaging higher yards a carry. So, like I said, I think they are very comfortable with their balance right now.
Sal, I was obviously, it was a lot of fun on postgame on Sunday talking about Tyler Bass, and a lot of people wanted to call in and kind of give their thoughts on the thing. And some, you know, we obviously had a couple people that were like, well, he's a kicker, it's his job. But I think you had I think you chatted with Tyler Bass after the game on the sidelines, if I'm not mistaken. What, in your estimation, like, because I think we make a lot of comparisons to the game of golf with kicking. Hitting a 61-yard game winner, considering even how just the game itself went for Bass. I mean, he clinks an extra point, misses an extra point. Do you think this is something that can build him moving forward? I mean, it just was such a unbelievable play. The vibes in the stadium, hearing the team and seeing how McDermott and Allen, Allen's post-game interview on TV, he was damn near in tears talking about mm-hmm. Tyler Bass. So yeah. do you expect this to have like a sort of snowball effect on the rest of his season?
It's a tough question, right? I mean, I think we all, it could happen, right, Nate? I mean, the same thing. We use the golf analogy a lot, and even the players do, the guys who play those positions. You know, can you go out there and have a round or a few holes? You're like, oh my God, I'm feeling really good right now. And then all of a sudden, maybe a few bad things happen again. Do I think that can happen? Absolutely. I know this, that that locker room loves Tyler Bass and they believe in him. And I think that goes a long way for him as well, for him to continue to just kind of have faith and trust his process of what he's doing. And that, you know, I think can carry him even more so than maybe even having a really good day, because he did miss the extra point as well. But let's look ahead now. You have a game in a dome this week, right? He needs to be, well, I guess, perfect, unless it's a really long kick or something. He needs to make the kicks this week. They're playing in a dome. Then they come back and they play two games here in between a bye week, you know, around a bye week, Kansas City and San Fran, then two more domes, right? Like, I mean, so the next few weeks, because you have three domes and two very critical games at home, at least one against a conference opponent, both against the two Super Bowl representatives last year. You know, these are big weeks coming up for Tyler Bass. So, you know, I think he needs to perform in these situations given the environment and the, you know, the situation that they're in of their season.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline with us for just a couple of more minutes here. Sal, we know it was a busy week in the league. Trade deadline was Tuesday. Bills made a couple of additions to the roster, not via trade. They just picked up guys who were waived. Quentin Jefferson from Cleveland and Jordan Phillips from Dallas. They're signed. They're here. So the roster's back at 53. But then today they made a move and have opened up a spot. And what do you suppose is behind that?
I'm trying to figure it out. So just a little while ago, before I went on with you guys, they released defensive tackle Zion Logue. They had signed him from the Falcons practice squad probably about a month ago. He's played his required time that he's got to be on the team after signing him from a practice squad. So we know that. Now, this is a two-for-one transaction, essentially, right? They signed two defensive tackles. Let's start with, how about this? They lost two when they lose Carter and then Dewan Smoot, right, over the course of the last couple of weeks. They replaced them with two, Jordan Phillips, Quentin Jefferson, but now they release Zion Logue. It literally could seriously be, guys, because they don't need 10 defensive tackles.
Right.
And that's what they have. Let's just say nine, because one would be Dwayne Carter on IR. I mean, you still have Ilyanku and Branson Dean on the practice squad. There's only so many numbers at practice that you need, and guys, if you're wasting reps and guys aren't getting reps, then that could be it. And say, look, we're just gonna let this guy go and do his thing, and you know, maybe let him hook on with another team. I mean, there also could be something at play here with the two wide receivers, with the wide receiver group that's banged up. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying they go out and sign somebody off the street. That could happen. I mean, do you sign a Tyrell Shavers or a Deion Kane to the active roster
instead of just elevating them? Yeah, right.
Right, exactly. Because, or how about Ilyanku? He has two elevations. He's got one left. Like, maybe if you do want, he played really well last week, by the way.
I thought so too.
Right?
Yeah.
And they say, look, instead of having him be elevated, we could sign him to the active roster so we don't have to worry about the elevations for the rest of the year. There's probably a few things at play here. I'm very interested. Now, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, the names, let's just crush this one. It's not for Matt Milano. Matt Milano hasn't even started practicing yet.
Right.
So if anybody who says, oh, they're opening up a spot for Milano, Matt Milano is going to start practicing before he plays, and they get to carry him for 21 days before they even have to activate him. So that's not going to happen. You want to talk about Micah Hyde? I could listen to that, but boy, it would be pretty surprising if all of a sudden we found out late in a week that they signed Micah Hyde to the active roster. Now, I wouldn't dismiss the fact that after everything happened with Mike Edwards being released and the fact they have four healthy safeties right now and Cam Lewis is your backup nickel, so really three, I mean, could it be possible? Sure. I could see something like that down the road. At this point, on a Thursday happening, that's where I wonder. And then the last possibility is, people pointing out, the Ravens released Yannick Ngakoue today. Now, he has to go through waivers, so he's available to any team in the league. The reason why he's available to waivers, by the way, at his age, because normally, as you guys know, if you release somebody and they've been in the league 4 years or more, you don't have waivers on them. But once you pass the trade deadline, everybody has to go through waivers, no matter how long you've been in the league. So Yannick Ngakoue has to go through waivers. Could something like that be at play? Sure, I wouldn't dismiss anything. They're retooling the defensive line here a little bit, right? And actually, Smoot's a defensive end. Let's remember, Dewan Smoot's a defensive end, not a defensive tackle, right? So I'm not necessarily predicting any of this. I'm just saying that it's all in the realm of possibilities in one way or another.
Yeah. Another name I've seen a couple of people have suggested to me on social media is, I think I did this the last time I brought this guy up. I got to ask you, Lewis Cine or Cine?
Cine.
Cine. Thank you. I promise I'm going to remember this time. I wonder like if he's an idea, like even for this week, Indianapolis, like probably you're worried about Jonathan Taylor. I don't know. That's a DB that's got some size that maybe could be like a Poyer type role from last year.
Do you remember what I said about Lewis Cine 2 weeks ago to you, maybe a week ago?
Yes, I think I do.
I said, I found it interesting that Lewis Cine was working with
linebackers.
Right. Back in training camp. And I wonder if given what teams have done to the Bills in their run game, when the Bills, because the Bills are in a tough position. It's a great position, but a tough position, okay? They have one of the best players in the league at his position in Taron Johnson. But the fact is, Taron Johnson's light, and teams have taken advantage of that. So you think about what the Chiefs did last year in the playoffs. The game here against the Bills, the Chiefs ran three tight ends a lot. They ran the ball on the Bills. They did not. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes throwing all over the place. Right. And the Bills had a tough time with that. So what do? Because it's a catch-22. You could say, well, let's go big. Well, then you're taking Taron Johnson off the field, who's one of the best in the league at what he does, and you're going base defense. Well, maybe you get a guy like a Lewis Cine, who is a big nickel is what he is. He's a big nickel, big dime, whatever. And this is a matchup-specific type of player now who you can start to play. Now, I wouldn't dismiss. I said this to you last week. I said I wouldn't be surprised if I see Lewis Cine against the Chiefs this year, because this is the guy against the Niners this year. This is the type of offenses these teams are going to run. Where I wonder though is, you don't have to even sign him though. You could just elevate him before doing that and play with your numbers because he's on the practice squad. However, yes, I think that certainly could be, or even Kareem Jackson, who's been in the league a long time. The opening today, I guess the best way to put it, could be for a safety because they are down to four safeties, and Cam Lewis has to become your backup nickel if anything were to happen to Taron Johnson.
Right. All right. Very thorough visit, Sal. We'll do all of this and more tomorrow. More specific on the matchup with the Colts and Jonathan Taylor and how the Bills can best attack them, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right, you bet, guys. Thanks.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances on the show are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? We'll talk more about this week's matchup between the Bills and the Colts as we continue here. Nate Geary's in for Mike Shope, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR.
Throughout the course of the season, it's going to happen. That's the name of the game. It's not if you get hurt, it's when you get hurt, right? So dealing with, you know, whether we have new guys or, you know, we got to get them moving around a little bit today. It was good to see. So jury's still out. And again, we rock with who we got. We do a good job in our offensive unit meetings and getting guys ready to go. So whatever the case is, we'll be prepared.
Good idea or bad idea to admit that I had to ask Zach who that was when that clip started playing?
Maybe you should have taken the day off.
It didn't sound.
So worried when you were pausing there. I don't know.
It sounded like a hockey player to me. I didn't. But when you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's Josh.
Yeah.
Everybody out there, did that sound like Josh right away to you? Yeah. Maybe I'm slowly dying today, and I don't know it.
Maybe you have.
I mean,
tinnitus.
How would you know it?
Yeah,
really.
How would you know?
Yeah, right.
Until it happens,
and
how would you know?
We are all slowly dying.
That,
I mean,
in a way.
Really slowly, I suppose. I'm definitely on the back of the hill. Like,
oh, yeah, you're in the back nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right around 12.
Well, thank you for that.
Listen.
A lot of golf left, people.
A lot of golf left. And at 12, usually you're like, okay, if I don't turn it around now, this is going to be an ugly round. I do not want to post that 90. If something doesn't change on 12, I'm probably just going to drink a couple more beers.
Yeah. All right. Good to have you with us here on this Thursday. I am the Bulldog, and Nate Geary is in here for Mike Shope a couple of days here. Mike's taking the back end of this week off. I'll also be solo on postgame on Sunday. So, you know, I mean, get ready with all your prank calls. I just love that. That'd be great. And Zach's off Sunday, too. So it'll be like, just have at it. I'm inviting you now. Come on in. Please don't do that.
That's an awfully, awfully brave thing you just did, but
Sorry, nobody.
I wouldn't have recommended
it. It's sort of like you don't know that people don't really comprehend sarcasm.
Oh, no, I fully comprehend that.
No, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
803-0550 is the number. Mike is first up this segment. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
How you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Two things. One, with all the injuries going on at the receiver position, would you guys be for MVS coming back? Since he knew the system, I know it didn't really work out at first or whatever, but he's out there. You know, you don't have to, you know, train him much. Secondly, why do you think it is, like, whether it was with Mike Edwards or Leonard Fournette or Puna Ford or MBS and, you know, Curtis Samuel, why is it when these players come here, they excel other places, but for some reason here, they don't excel, or, like, they're not given a chance to, and, you know, obviously they get frustrated and, you know, they want to leave and they go someplace else, but, like, we've seen this, you know, for the past couple seasons now, these good veterans who are, like, good players, you know, and like they don't get a jersey on game day. Why even bother signing them, you know? I never understood that.
Okay, thank you. I think you might be overestimating the quality of those players. Mike Edwards started games for the Chiefs in the playoffs because of injury.
He was a backup.
He was thought to be someone who would be starting here. I don't know. To me, there's nothing weird going on there. I think he got hurt and just couldn't win a job. And couldn't beat out the guys in front of him, and that's easy. I don't know, Puna Ford. I was excited about Puna Ford.
Me too.
I thought that was exactly the right kind of guy they needed, and I don't know, maybe he just found the cliff when he got here.
He's played well this year.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe it wasn't
Fournette,
a fit. I don't know.
Fournette's out of the league.
Yeah, and MVS, by the way, is not just out there. He's on the New Orleans Saints active roster.
And he has not been the same. He's not the same player that he was in Green Bay.
He's almost never been good.
He was okay that one year in Green Bay as like the deep threat,
right?
With Devontae Adams and like other good players on an offense.
Yeah. If he were still available with the injuries they have, I'd be with the caller on the thought process. Like he was here, it was kind of a numbers game. They traded for Amari Cooper. Okay, well you're the odd man out. Well, you got a couple guys hurt. Maybe bring a guy like that back in. But again, he's on the active roster.
Not poachable.
Not even practice squad. And they've got injuries all over the place there, most notably Chris Olave. So he's in line to probably play a lot of maybe more snaps than he's played in a while for New Orleans now. So, you know. But, you know, solid idea. Maybe not everybody knows that he got picked up by the Saints. And if he were out there, I would think that would be a decent enough idea. But to me, he's not a meter mover in any way, really. I wasn't even super excited when they signed him in the first place. It's kind of like, you know, we're trying to piece together our receiving core and we're signing the kind of guys that when other teams sign him, I go, oh, yeah, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a big deal. We talked a lot with Sal about the running back thing, like the way that, you know, snaps are being meted out there. Did you know that Davis was outpacing Johnson touch-wise as aggressively as he is?
Yeah.
Because I honestly didn't until I looked at the sheet. Because, I look every Monday at the snap counts and the percentages. And
when he's in the game, it's because they want to give him the ball.
Yeah, right. Whereas Johnson, I think, is more like, you know, again, pass pro, that kind of thing. And... Davis has been real, real nice. I like how he runs. I like Sal has pointed this out, like falling forward. I feel like if there's one thing about Cook that really drives me nuts, pay it. I don't want this to be like the thing, like a caller calls. It seems like every time. Cook, I feel like, frequently leaves me like a half a yard short of a first down. Like he just goes down just the littlest bit too soon. Like, and Davis is kind of the opposite of that. I think Davis gets like the extra little bit often enough.
I also maybe want to point out on Davis why he's got more touches. He did get a majority of the touches in the one game that Cook was out. So that I wonder if you removed that game, would it be similar?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think about this like falling? I just feel like Davis has got that. He's got that nose for the line type of thing. Recognizing he did get stopped at like the half-yard line twice against the Jets. So, you know, I'm talking about first downs, not touchdowns, but I know it's the same concept. But I like Cook just fine. But I feel like Davis, there's just a little something there that I want to see more of, I think.
I think he's been better at it this year, to be honest. Cook falling forward a little bit. He's brought a more physical touch to his game than he's had in years past. they're asking him to run between the tackles. And I think if you ask Brandon Bean, I mean, I think I know the answer to the question because he like had to go back on the podium draft day to be like, hey, just by the way, when I was talking about James Cook, like he could do more than catch the ball, but like he kind of in the post draft I was hosting, he was like, yeah, you know, we kind of see him as like a third down back, a guy that's going to really help you out of the backfield when they were weirdly obsessed with running backs that could catch out of the backfield for like 2 years. If you told Brandon Bean today, James Cook is the player that he was right now and how they're using him, I think that he would have been surprised.
Right. He called him a sub back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were kind of, they brought him in the same time they did the weird Naeem Hines thing and like we're bringing in these backs that were like exclusive pass catchers because I think Ken Dorsey was like into that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, that draft was on the heels of them getting jilted by the guy from Washington. McKinnon, was it? No.
Yes, that was the year. Yes, they wanted McKinnon. He ended up, not McKinnon.
McKissick.
Who's out of the league now. Is Naeem Hines in the league? I don't know. These guys, they really liked him.
Right.
They were going to pay him money. They're not around like 3 years later. Yeah. That was that offseason. They wanted McKissick, and he ended up going back, and they like traded for Naeem Hines, and then he returned two kicks for a touchdown and then broke his leg on a jet ski.
I guess that is exactly how that happened.
That's the story. There's no disputing that.
The jet ski accident wasn't right after the touchdowns, but
no, it was close after.
Patrick is next. Did not need to be clarified. Patrick is next up here on WGR. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. I was curious if you guys thought Cook actually played some wide receiver in college. I was wondering if there was any chance of maybe putting him at wide receiver, just for the injury situation that we're in, and then having Ray Davis, start as a running back.
I would say there's no chance of that. I think they'll use Cook in the pass game, and sometimes that means he gets split out, but like making him into a receiver, like a boundary receiver or something, and that's who they're
down. They'll just bring up Tyrell Shavers.
That's who they're potentially down is Coleman and Cooper. So you're not even talking about slot. To me, no. I think they value their running game as it's currently constituted too much to do that. And I also don't think you're going to make a receiver out of James Cook, even, in a break glass in case of emergency, but they've got guys they can dress. You get into a game and everybody goes down, that's another thing. But I think as a plan, I'd say no chance.
I think if they're down two receivers, I think it'll be Virgil, and I think Deion Kane has a decent shot. They liked him. He looked good in their last preseason game. They brought him on late in training camp. They signed him back to the practice squad, I think, 2 weeks ago. Wouldn't shock me at all if he's a guy that they put out there.
Right. They brought him in when they released the kicker, I think. The spare kicker.
Yes. They had an extra practice squad spot.
Went to the curb, and that's where Deion Kane ended up. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We'll take a timeout here. Nate Geary's in for Mike. I am the Bulldog, and you are listening to WGR. Rolling through a Thursday evening here on WGR. I am the Bulldog. Nate Geary is sitting in for Mike Shope today and again tomorrow.
Hello.
Which is nice because our time together today is almost gone.
That, and I'm looking forward to making you eat your words of the quote, I like the Sabres tonight.
I didn't say that on the air.
Oh, my bad.
That's fine.
I do.
I feel like yes.
Okay.
I've got a game from last year in my head where I thought maybe they looked as good as they looked all year.
I think I recall. In New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
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 And they've had decent success against the Rangers lately. Like, they've getting points out of games anyway, at least. They don't win them all, but I kind of like them. Like, it's a really good team, big, good road test.
They do, when they're playing, like, dogs, like, they kind of tend to play better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, poop themselves when they play at, a bad hockey team they should beat.
Yeah. I like them tonight.
Okay.
And then I'm in on the – did you look any further into – we were comparing
notes.
I just
placed the bet. I just placed it.
On your app that had the odds like half of what they were on mine?
So for 3+ goals for Tage Thompson, it was plus 4,500. You had it at what?
I got it at 10, plus 10,000 this morning. It's still 9,500 on my app.
I don't understand the discrepancy.
That is crazy.
I didn't feel like downloading another app.
And I understand that.
And I just, or as somebody once told me, I was irresponsible. And I just decided to say I don't care about the extra plus.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm in bed with FanDuel. They pay me, so like I do their ads, so like that's where I do it. But boy, this thing—that's
the kind of transparency politics needs, right there.
The thing that, thank you. The thing that, no, really, thank you. And all the little people out there.
Yes, that's right.
But what we discovered today is the reason why maybe it is smart to shop around. Like I only use that one app because, again, that's my partnership.
I'm lazy.
Wow. I mean, that's a big discrepancy.
And
in the
just
odds.
Threw the money at it. And you've got a
Sabre,
can't lose
a business model.
Your best, like, listen, if you're trying to make long-term income, reach out to Bulldog, just DM on Twitter. He's got to get rich in an appropriate amount of time.
You don't have to DM me. People know. It's an open book. It's a Tage Thompson hat trick bet with the Sabres either on the puck line, but like today, they're like plus 160 on the money line. So that's juicy. Yeah. And Thompson was plus 10,000. I pair that up. There was an odds boost.
Good night, sweet prince.
I mean, I mean, you got to be prepared to lose. Last year, I lost 60 times on a $10 bet. So do the math, but there was a day there in March where Thompson got a hat trick, and I made three times my money back.
It's consistency.
So it's not foolproof. Far from foolproof.
It pays to be patient.
But if you have the resources, you just go on that ride.
It is quite a ride.
Yes, it is.
It's quite a ride because the moment of juice, when you get the juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I had. I went out for the last afternoon home game was against the Red Wings a couple Saturdays ago. Mm-hmm. I did not have it. I had sort of gotten off the train, and he scored twice.
Yep.
And I was like, oh no. Man.
Did I?
Empty netter city, here it comes, uh-huh. Right? But I didn't miss it because he did not get another goal there.
I wonder how – I'm trying to put myself in Fred's position when you hit that bet in your attic, what that must have been like.
Easy come, easy go.
Sure. Right?
That's my thing.
Yeah, I know that's not true.
I try not to make too big a deal out of it. Yeah. Because if I make too big a deal out of it, then my wife's going to wonder why I'm so excited.
That's the last thing you need to do.
Full transparency, I tell her. Like I won a couple of big parlays late in the spring before we were going to Spain. I'm like, I think I just paid for our vacation. Which actually turned out to be almost exactly right. Like the credit card bill when we got back was almost exactly the amount of the two. I'm like, I feel pretty good.
You're
about
welcome. You're
I
welcome,
feel pretty
dear.
Good about this.
Yep.
Thank you, FanDuel. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I guess that's it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it. I'll see you tomorrow.
I will.
Same time?
I will be here tomorrow.
Unless
you want to come hang out in my attic and do the show from there. No, I'm kidding. I'm not equipped to do two people on from right now.
No.
But all right, good. Have yourself a good night.
All right.
We'll dismiss Nate and shift gears into hockey mode here as Paul Hamilton will be joining us at the top of the hour here. The Steve Foley Law pregame show for the Sabres and the Rangers heading your way right after this. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.